John, how are you doing this morning?
I am great. How are you?
I'm doing all right. We got a big football game to discuss here as Iowa kicks off Big Ten play this weekend with the trip to Minneapolis. Where are the Hawkeyes right now, in your opinion, as they get ready to start Big Ten play? Because it seems to me we've got some questions about this team and questions that I don't think we've seen asked of a Kirk Ferentz team in quite some time. And those are on the defensive side of the football. That seems to be where the problems are at the moment.
Yeah, if I had to kind of pick a couple words to describe this entire team, I would say unfinished product. You've seen glimpses, I would say, on both sides of the ball that have been very good. And you've seen glimpses probably on both sides of the ball that have been concerning. And most recently with this Troy game, the defense really was an area of concern in terms of that secondary. One of the hallmarks of Phil Parker defenses has been not giving up big plays. And really, they've been giving up like mega size plays where you look at it, not just, you know, a 30-yarder or a 40-yarder, but when you're talking about a 62-yarder and a 63-yarder against Troy, I think it's a 75-yarder against Iowa State, they've already given up more 50-plus yard receptions this season through three games than they did all of last year. So that really goes to show this is probably one of the bigger concerns for this team. Just because the formula before seemed to be, okay, you've got an elite defense again, you've got an elite special teams, you can probably get away with just being an average offense. But all of a sudden, it kind of calls into question the elite defense part of the formula there when you're giving up these big plays. I will say the rush defense was fantastic against Troy. Obviously, they're going to go up against some more formidable rushing games, including this week against Minnesota. But that was fantastic. There are aspects of the offense in terms of Cade McNamara's efficiency that I thought were much improved from week two. But really, that secondary is kind of one of the big concerns. I'd also say pass protection prompts a little bit of concern for me as well. So very much an unfinished product through three games.
Kirk was asked yesterday about the big plays that the defense has been giving up, and he says he thinks the problems are correctable. Do you believe that, or do you think that maybe there's more concern there?
I think it's possible. You look at it, and you have, in theory, a lot of the things that you want in terms of you have an experienced secondary, where really you're one younger, or I should say more inexperienced starter is TJ Hall. And obviously TJ Hall got burned both times against Troy. But you look elsewhere in the secondary, you've got some really experienced guys. So, you know, that's a good thing. You've got Phil Parker, you know, the last year's Broyles Award winner. So, which goes to the best assistant coach in college football. So you've got a lot of things going for you, but they need to figure this out. And so I do believe it is a correctable issue. And, you know, doubt Phil Parker really at your own risk.
On the offensive side of the ball, has Cade McNamara done enough to maybe tamp down some of the worry or some of the criticism that Hawkeye fans have had of him in the first 2.5 games this season?
I would say tamp down, but not eliminate. Where you look at it, his one game against a Power 5 foe against a pretty good defense was 13 for 29, 2 interceptions, 99 yards. So I would say you look at it and his numbers, well, Iowa's numbers as a whole through three games offensively is better than it was, a lot better than what it was through three games last year. Granted, that's not saying much, but yeah, I would say the, you know, 19 for 23, you know, I think probably took down some of the concerns, but really the question is how much can this kind of be sustained against some better defenses? You know, Minnesota is a good defense. They're going to go up against one of the best defenses probably in the country after the bye week against Ohio State. So That's something where I would say less concerned, but still a little bit of concern there.
How surprised were you to see Brendan Sullivan in the red zone on Saturday? And do you think that's something that we'll see from Iowa moving forward? Or was it maybe just a one-off to put that on video and have teams thinking about it in the back of their head moving forward?
I was quite surprised. It seemed like a very un-Kirk Ferentz thing to do. Where you look at it, it wasn't that long ago that Brian Ferentz was offensive coordinator and was talking about, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but basically saying something about if you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks in terms of rotating quarterbacks. So that's something historically that I should say in recent history that Iowa has not been so keen on doing. So I was a little bit surprised. I think we'll probably see Brendan Sullivan in some fashion throughout the year. Is it going to be every goal line situation? I don't know. But you look at it and you've got two quarterbacks who have Big Ten experience, and it seemed to be a recognition on Saturday that there are things that Brendan Sullivan brings to the table that maybe isn't necessarily Cade McNamara's strength. So I was encouraged by kind of the adaptability of this offense to do something different, you know, take advantage of the fact that Brendan Sullivan can run with the football better than Cade McNamara can. So I'd say it's an encouraging sign, but we'll see how much and how exactly they're going to use that moving forward. I think it certainly does at least create, to your point, that it at least creates these opposing defenses are going to have to at least be thinking about Brendan Sullivan a little bit more than they were through the first 2 weeks.
I'm talking Hawkeye football with John Steppe, the Cedar Rapids Gazette's beat writer. He's going to be in the Twin Cities on Saturday night as the Hawkeyes kick off Big Ten play against Minnesota. Can we expect another healthy dose of Caleb Johnson on Saturday? I think the answer to that is yes, but maybe the bigger question is, can he continue to carry the load offensively and can continue to do what it is that we've seen him do through the first 3 weeks of the season, which is drawing comparisons to Sean Green?
Yeah, it's been a pretty spectacular first 3 weeks. And you just look at what he's done, you know, to do three straight games with more than 100 yards, despite not being held out in the first half of the Illinois State game. You look at that and you say, okay, that's pretty special there. And you're seeing something that you don't see all the time. And the last time that somebody's had three consecutive 100-yard rushing games was Jordan Canzari back in 2015. Now, in Canzari's case, it was only three consecutive games. So it is a hard thing to do in terms of doing this quite at the level that Caleb Johnson has done over these last three games. I would expect him to still have a starring role throughout this season. And he's really, I would say, developed and grown into what seems like kind of an every down back kind of role and really a starring role on this offense.
Let me ask you about a popular topic of conversation yesterday, especially when we were chatting with the players yesterday morning in Iowa City. Do you believe them when they tell you and tell us that they're not worried or not thinking about what happened last year, that they're not out for revenge over the Cooper DeJean punt return that should have won that game, that it's out of sight, out of mind, and it's not anything that they're thinking about going into this game?
I don't think it's entirely out of mind. You look at it and, you know, that's the way that it's kind of preached into them in terms of 24-hour rule, move on to the next game. But you look at the way that ended, the fact that it's a rivalry, and kind of everything that comes with that. And they also, if I'm remembering correctly, that was right before the bye. So they had a little more time to let that loss kind of linger. And, you know, if that game goes differently, you wonder, would things have been different for their offensive coordinator? You've got so many aspects of that game that made that not just any other loss that I understand why they're saying that, okay, blank slate, new season, new team. But I imagine it has to at least linger a little bit in their minds especially after just how sour of a taste that left them last year and kind of left for the entire fan base as well.
What are your thoughts on Minnesota heading into this game? We've seen them, they're 2-1, just like the Hawkeyes are. Very similar. The one loss has been to a Power Four team. They've got two wins. The two wins are shutout wins, but it was Rhode Island and Nevada. Nevada's got one win this year, and it was the Troy team that gave Iowa trouble. I don't know what to make of this Minnesota team right now.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. You look at it, and that North Carolina team is not as good as that Iowa State team. So in terms of Power Four losses, you'd say Iowa's Power Four loss is not nearly as bad as Minnesota's Power Four loss in terms of comparing resumes. I think they have the pieces to be competitive in this game. I think Iowa, on paper, is very much the better team between these two. But you look at it, and this has been a competitive rivalry. You look at how often it's gone down to one score or, you know, within 7 points. And, you know, obviously 12-10 is a good example of that. So you look at how close it is. I think they have the ability to hang in there. I think they've got a good running game with Darius Taylor. The better Darius Taylor does, the better I think this is going to go for this Minnesota offense. They've got capable pieces on the defense. You know, this is going to be, you know, I like Iowa State's defense more than Minnesota's, but it's still going to be a much more of a challenge than they faced against Troy and Illinois State. So I think it'll be kind of a good measuring stick in terms of where Iowa is. And you look at it, this is, you know, it's going to be a while before they go up against another Big Ten team that can be kind of a good bellwether for them, because after the bye week, they go against Ohio State, and you can still be a really good team and look really bad against Ohio State. So this is, I think, a good chance to see, okay, you saw the shaky Iowa State performance against Iowa State, and then you saw shaky parts of the Troy performance. How does this team do against decent competition? I think Minnesota is good enough to give you that kind of sense.
All right, you and I both pick these games every week in your paper, the Cedar Rapids Gazette, which, by the way, it's a great paper and you should subscribe to. It's part of the reason that why we have John on with us every week during football season. I'm not asking for whether it's going to be a blowout. I'm not score prediction, but are you picking Iowa to win this game? Have you made your pick yet?
I have not made my pick yet, but I know that I'm going to pick Iowa. I haven't figured out score, all that. I think it's me close, and I think it's me and Iowa win. Might not be the prettiest, but we've seen that before in terms of not necessarily the prettiest, but a win is a win. I think this could very much fall into that. I could see a situation, too, where Iowa just blows them out. I do think that Iowa is the substantially better team when you compare these two rosters. But yeah, if I had to guess right now, I'd say maybe a little bit of a nail biter, but Iowa takes home point.
What can we read from you in the coming days before the Hawkeyes head north?
Yeah, I already wrote about kind of the offensive numbers and how much better those are this year compared to last year. And of course, that comes with the caveat that they haven't played the toughest strength of schedule, but they didn't in last year's non-conference either. Wrote about that. Kirk had some interesting thoughts about Brendan Sullivan, about the rivalry, so on and so forth. That's already up there in terms of in the forthcoming days. Big plays, something that we've been talking a lot about. I might have something kind of digging a little deeper on that, and especially given Iowa's history of not really giving up big plays. So I'll have something on that. I'll have something on Jacob Gill. You look at it. What an impressive last 4 months or so, or 3 or 4 months or so from him. You know, he didn't have spring ball here at Iowa. He transfers after the spring from Northwestern. He gets here in the summer, and all of a sudden he's the leading receiver in receptions and receiving yards, and it's not even all that close. And that's on a team that has Luke Lachey. So you look at it, and that's been a pretty incredible last few months for Jacob Gill, and I was something on him and some other things that you can find by picking up a copy of the Gazette or going to thegazette.com.
All right, John, have a safe trip up to the Twin Cities, and I'll see you next Tuesday in Iowa City.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
That is John Steppe of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Joins me every Wednesday at 7:40 throughout the college football season.